Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. I suspect if you're anything like me, you could be an Olympic champion for worrying. I think it's part of our defense mechanism. I think it's something that we have in our DNA. It's there to protect us. There's that internal voice that says, hurry up and cross the street. The car's coming quicker than you think. You know, it has our own best interests at heart. But most of us will have a habit of worrying that at times can feel as if it's out of control. And that's what this week's podcast is all about. Looking for ways to get on top of that worry, to dance with it, maybe to have some strategies for hauling ourselves out of that pit of despair. You know, I was watching again a movie called Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks. You know, it's a Cold War movie. It's actually the movie that Mark Rylance won Best Supporting Actor Oscar for a few years back. And several times in this movie, I think Mark Rylance's character is a Russian spy, you know, and he's been prosecuted and he might be going to death row. And, you know, Tom Hanks's character asks him several times in the movie, you know, you don't seem too worried. And his response to that is, well, would it change anything, or would it achieve anything, or would it help? And of course, when we think about worrying, it really doesn't have that much of an impact on the outcome of something. At the same time, it is part of being human. There's also the Churchill quote. I think it was something that Churchill said later in life or after World War II. And Churchill said, you know, when I look back on all of these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he'd had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. And that is true when we think about the worries that we carry with us. You know, worry, my favorite definition of it is the long shadow of the worst possible future that we experience or feel in the present. You know, our head is going into the future, thinking about the worst case scenario, but we feel those emotions in the present moment. I always think I will find something to worry about, you know, whether it's money and paying bills at the end of the month, whether it's health issues, whether it's worrying about someone I care about or know, we'll always find something to worry about. And I think that's part and parcel of maybe having the identity of a worrier. You know, the way we might say things like, oh, well, I'm a worrier. And what I find interesting is I often speak about that habit we have of self-identification or self-image, because we would always conform to it. And I often give the flippant example of maybe someone who views themselves as someone who could never be on time for anything. You know, they see themselves as being always late. So of course they will conform to that. Or the person maybe going for an interview who sees themselves as someone who will just be very nervous at interview. It doesn't matter what tips and strategies they get, they will conform to that self-image. And it was only recently I realized that perhaps part of my self-image, and if it's true for me, it's probably true for others too, is that part of our identity is like, I'm a worrier. So if I view myself as a worrier, I will worry. It's a bit like if someone views themselves as a smoker, you know, smokers smoke, dogs bark, cats meow. It's a behavior that follows on from our identity. So one of the things, and the first little distinction to share with you on this week's podcast is let me change, or at least get curious about adjusting that habit of self-identification that I have. So rather than calling myself a worrier, you know, it's like I'm someone who's trying to get balance in terms of where my focus is, you know, or I'm someone who cares. And that's something I'm going to be speaking about more later on in this podcast, because there is a distinction between worrying and caring. So I think it's great to say I'm a carer, you know, because I care about things. I'm a worrier has that heavier, weightier emotion that goes with it. So that's the first little distinction for this week. Of course, we only worry when we care. You know, if there was a scenario that's happening somewhere and I'm not emotionally invested in it, well, then I'm not going to care or worry about the outcome too much. I often say that to people when I'm helping them prepare for interview. You know, if you're nervous or worried or anxious about the interview, to some extent, that's the price you pay for being emotionally invested. You know, it's important to you. You care. And therefore, that's part and parcel of the deal. But of course, we want to be able to manage that. At a slightly deeper level, I often think there are two underlying beliefs that are like the roots of the weeds when it comes to mindset, and in particular, the habit we have of worrying. And this is something that only came to mind for me recently. And if I viewed worry as a symptom, you know, what might be the root cause of it? And it doesn't take much reflection to figure out that fear is in there somewhere. But when I sat down and contemplated it, one of the things that came to mind for me was, you know, if I don't worry, does that mean I don't care? And that sort of rang true for me. So can I still care but worry less? That's an interesting one to ponder, because if I'm running the belief that if I don't worry, it means I don't care, well, I'm going to continue to worry. You know, so if I have a relative or someone who's going into hospital for tests, if I'm not worried about them, does that mean I don't care about them? Which, of course, is hopefully not true. So how can I keep the caring bit but diminish the worrying side? And we're going to look at that in a moment. The other heavy or limiting belief that I think can get into the way in the way here, or one of the drivers of excessive worry, and this one is certainly true for me, you know, where I sort of run that unconscious belief that I have to try to control everything. You know, I'm trying to control the outcome. And somehow I sort of feel that, you know, the more I'm worrying, the more I'm invested in it, the more I'm trying to, you know, stay on top of things, or, you know, the broad shoulders will carry the weight of the world. You know, it's often the phrase that we use. And if we look at that head on, you know, we know it's not possible to control everything. But one of the things, of course, we can control is our response to the uncontrollable. For me, words like worry, anxiousness, nervousness, you know, they're all the polite ways of referencing fear. You know, ultimately, that's what we're talking about here. And in many instances, is that old acronym with fear, that's true. I've said it before. I'm sure I'll say it again. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. But perhaps if we look at it head on, we can see the F-E-A-R as facing everything and rising, you know, face everything and rise. That's a nice way to look at fear, because it's like, I'm going to look at it, I'm going to dance with it, it's not going to inhibit me, I'm going to connect with my feelings or my reserves of courage to move through it. What I find fascinating with worry, and again, it's a different way of looking at it, is, of course, it's future-based thinking, and it's also visualization. Now, we might do visualization in different contexts, you know, say sports people, and they're visualizing how to do the drop goal in rugby or the tennis serve or the golf swing. That's all visualization, but it's positive visualization. In our own lives, we'll often do positive visualization, but we'll call it looking forward to something. You know, I'm looking forward to holidays, I'm looking forward to a party, I'm looking forward to meeting a friend for a cup of coffee. And the feeling that goes with that is one of excitement or positive anticipation. You know, that's what excitement is, positive anticipation. Worry, of course, is negative anticipation. It's both anticipation, it's both future-based thinking. But we'll often have the habit of maybe looking at the dark side more so than the light side. Similarly, if we're pushing comfort zone and we feel that sense of worry or anxiousness by doing something new, On one hand, we can be worried. On the other hand, we can feel excited. And we can get the two of them mixed up, or that stuff can change in a heartbeat, because the physical sensations of both are practically identical. You know, that faster beating heart, the shaky hands, the butterflies in the stomach, the faster breathing, the faster talking. You know, they're the symptoms of both excitement and worry, because they're both based on anticipation. So that's three things to maybe contemplate in this area, or to reframe when it comes to worry. You know, can I expand my identity so I'm not just viewing myself as a worrier? You know, I'm someone who cares, or someone who's looking to approach things in a more balanced or rational way. Let me also recognize that, you know, life is always going to present us with challenges, and sometimes we'll try to control the uncontrollable, and of course that just creates more stress in itself. And then to remember as well, the physical sensations of worry or anxiousness are very similar to excitement, because it's both based on anticipation, negative anticipation, worry, positive anticipation, excitement. The next key distinction is one that I have found perhaps most helpful in this area, and it's making or acknowledging the difference between worry and caring. And as I said at the outset, we might use these words interchangeably, but they are subtly different. If I think about worry, worry is based on fear, as I say. You know, it's a fear-based thinking. What if this happens, and then poor me? Whereas caring, even if you say the word, it feels different. You know, for me, caring is about love. It's heart-based. It's full of compassion. You know, I often speak about the emotional scales. It's a technique that I use a lot with individuals and with groups and with myself. And I'll probably speak about it more in a future podcast. But if we think about all the emotions available to us, we have some positive ones and we have some not so positive ones. You know, I don't like using the phrase negative emotions because all emotions are valid. But something like worry for me sits below the line. You know, it's a heavy, weightier emotion. Whereas even contemplating caring about something is a lighter, more positive way of viewing it. You know, so in addition to being fear-based, for me, worry is like the projection of a negative energy, whereas caring is the projection of a positive energy. Let me give you an example of that. So it's like maybe you have a relative who's in hospital or someone who's unwell or someone who has struggles or challenges, you know, and if you're worried about them, totally human. But oftentimes then we're looking at like the end point. It's like mountains out of molehills, but we'll dig ourselves deeper. It's like our minds will run away with ourselves. You know, the power of the imagination can be positive or it can be not so positive. Whereas if you're caring about someone, you know, you're acknowledging your love for them, your appreciation for them, and maybe you're keeping them in the light as opposed to the shadow, if that makes sense. I think when you try to view a scenario from a place of caring as opposed to worrying, what you're doing is looking at it through maybe a wider lens, or you're having a wider perspective. I think for me, with caring, you're hopeful that things will get better. Whereas with worry, you're sort of stuck in the worst case scenario. Remember that definition of worry, the long shadow of the worst possible future experienced in the present. You know, I can relate to my own health issues at the moment, or my own reminders of well-being is how I rephrase it. And I spoke about this in an earlier podcast when cancer gate crashed my life, and it's sort of knocking at the door again at the minute. So naturally, you know, the human side of me is moving to a place of worry. So I'm trying to lean as much as I can into caring about health and well-being and the process of health and well-being, as opposed to worrying about what could go wrong, worst case scenario, which again, it's what we're hotwired to do. It's what I'm hotwired to do because it is part of our self-defense mechanism. It is the fight or flight drive. But sometimes if we acknowledge it for what it is and the fear-based thinking that's behind it, when I ring fence it, maybe I can see it for what it is and then make some other choices. So what I tend to find is with worry, we're coming at it from a place of disempowerment and a feeling of not being in control. And of course, we try to take control back wherever we can. And one of the things that precedes control is choice. So if I don't feel I have any choices, I won't feel in control. Whereas if I think I have maybe two choices here, and that might be to change attitude around it, or I could choose a different approach, or I could choose a broader perspective, or I could choose to learn something from this, that choice will give me a greater sense of control. And what I have found is that if I view the whole scenario through a lens of caring about my own health and well-being, to stick with that example, somehow that reaching for choices and regaining control just seems a little bit more achievable or possible. So for me, in this area of harnessing or controlling worry, that's a key distinction. You know, caring is taking action and it feels more empowered and it feels better, as opposed to worry being maybe a futile attempt to control the future by thinking about the worst case scenario. You know, that's a little odd when you look at it head on. You know, worry is a futile attempt to try to control the future by thinking about the worst case scenario. By its nature, it is disempowering. As you know, I'm a great player with words. And maybe you've come across before the word disease split into dis-ease. Well, for me, worry is also dis-ease because it's not an easy feeling to deal with. You know, what are the early warning signals of worry? You know, how do we know we're worrying? Well, we'll feel it. We'll feel it in the pit of our stomachs. We'll breathe higher and faster in our chests. And often the mind is going a million miles an hour, playing all of these movies that are not real, like they only exist in our head, you know, thinking about the worst case scenario. Here's a few simple strategies for nipping that stuff in the bud, above and beyond some of the distinctions I've already shared with you. The first one is to ask myself directly, okay, what am I fearful of here? Because remember, worry is fear-based. So what exactly am I fearful of here? Let me acknowledge it. Let me write it down. Maybe then bring our rational brains in to view it. You know, well, is that true? What's the probability of it? Because our emotional response is always 100% completely accurate to whatever we're thinking about or focused on. And I just want to make sure my thinking is balanced and rational. You know, if I'm worried, I'm always focused on the worst case scenario. So could I take a moment and flip it and think about, well, what's the best case scenario? You know, both of that are our thoughts in our head. I was speaking to a lady recently and she said she was worried about setting up her own business. And of course, what if it fails? And, you know, what if she doesn't get any clients? And, you know, that's all understandable. We're always going to have to lean away from that because that's our defense mechanism. And then I said to her, but what if it's a raving success? What if it's the best decision you've ever made? And that thought is neither more true or less true than what if it fails? Because both of them are only thoughts. They're only movies that I play in my head. Can I put in a movie that at least in the short term makes me feel better? Yeah. That technique for both dealing with lack of confidence and dealing with excessive worry, because both of them are closely linked, is this real or is it a movie in my head? Because so often we are in the habit of playing movies and we don't even know that we're playing them. And the technique that I use myself in a very simple, practical way when I find myself worrying excessively is the stop technique. So I'll actually just say to myself the word stop, like stop, James, you're on a roll here. You know, your brain is going a million miles an hour and you're getting a bit frantic with it all. Stop. The T within the word stop then stands for take a breath. Let me purposely take a breath in here to just calm myself down. The O is for outcome. What is it that I do want here? You know, I know what it is I don't want. What is it that I do want? So I'm bringing the outcome front and center, the positive outcome front and center. And then the P is for praise. I might praise myself that I've caught this train of thought. I might praise myself for something that I've done earlier that day or earlier in the week that I can be positive about or proud about, because I'm just looking to change the lens or change my focus, change my perspective just a little. I'm someone who would classify themselves as a spiritual seeker. You know, the spiritual side of my life is very important to me. I'm a constantly honing, you know, what we would label maybe a spiritual practice. And I think the word practice there is key because it's not spiritual perfection. Just like a yoga practice is practice. My spiritual practice is important to me. And when I'm more at ease, you know, so the opposite of dis-ease, when I'm at ease, you know, calm, centered, breathing more deeply, acknowledging my humanness, as it were. You know, my deepest, wisest self knows that I'm guided and protected. And maybe that's what faith is. You know, I like to use the word confidence. It often comes up in workshops. And for me, confidence is maybe not the opposite of worry, but there's that sense of trust or faith that sits within the definition of confidence, you know, from the Latin con meaning with and fides meaning faith. So confidence is like with faith. So it might be with faith in myself and my resilience, my faith in the wider good of people, the wider, you know, benevolent universe, whatever phrase we use. But we can only get to that place or to that inner knowing when we purposely work on getting to a place of ease or alignment or centeredness. For me, in that space, you know, there's the when I breathe more purposely and connect with the source within and touch it and in touch with the essence of myself, you know, in that place, worry has no home. You know, in that place, we can maybe feel a little bit untouchable or fearless or strong or supported or guided. And that's a nice space to get into. And what I have found in recent times is that when I'm doing worry, it's really a signpost or an indication for me to turn within and to connect with that stronger, wiser, guided part of me. And maybe without something to worry about, I wouldn't get the prompt to reconnect, if that makes sense. I hope you have found my musings on this topic of worry helpful. You know, maybe it has stirred up or reminded you of something that you already know. But let me do a quick recap on some of the distinctions or ideas that I've touched on. You know, we'll often have the habit of identifying ourselves as a worrier, and that's a slippery slope to start with. You know, can I view myself as someone who's trying to learn something different here? You know, so I'm widening my way of self-identifying, or the habit I have of viewing or speaking about myself in a certain way. Let's remember too that we only worry about topics we care about, and that distinction between worrying and caring, you know, worrying be maybe fear-based, the futile attempt to control the future by thinking about the worst case scenario, which disempowers us, as opposed to the positive energy or the heart-based compassion that we can associate with caring. You know, so if it's I'm worried about my finances, maybe if I say to myself, I care about my finances, there's a lighter energy to that, but there's also a sense of possibility that comes from it. Whereas with worry, we can often make ourselves feel even more stuck. Of course, there will be some scenarios too where we're maybe dancing between worry and excitement, because both of it is based on anticipation, worry being negative anticipation and excitement being positive anticipation. You know, then there is maybe looking head on at what we're really dealing with here. What exactly am I fearful of? Let me look at it in its face. Let me face everything and rise, as the acronym for fear would be. Then there was the little stop technique. You know, let me acknowledge that my brain is running away with me. Let me press stop and eject, just like we would with a DVD, a movie that's not serving me. Let me take a breath, focus on what it is I do want, and maybe acknowledge something that I've done well or something that I can be proud of. So I'm just balancing out my thought processes a little. Something that does the same function is worrying when we're focused on the worst case scenario. What would be the opposite of that? Like, what's the best outcome? Can I just consider that for a moment? What's the worst that can happen? What's the best that can happen? And maybe what's likely to happen is somewhere in between, but it won't be the worst case scenario. And then that last little tip for all of you who are like me, spiritual seekers out there, when I'm at ease and I take a moment to center myself in that space, worry diminishes, because ultimately it is about love and it's about compassion. And it's about acknowledging that within ourselves on a regular basis. And of course, to worry is to be human as well, and we shouldn't beat ourselves up over it. So I hope you found these tips and distinctions of benefit. I'm delighted with the feedback I'm getting on the podcast episodes. I think there's 11 five-star reviews, which is fantastic. I'm delighted that the content is resonating with people. You know, if you've enjoyed it, please do consider subscribing, maybe passing details on to someone in your network that might find it of benefit, and maybe even considering making a review yourself. As ever, I'm James Sweetman. You can find out more about me on my website, jamessweetman.com, and of course on the other social media platforms as well. So thank you very much for listening, and until next week.